Welcome to HeCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. As always, I am Mike Chisholm. As always, I am super excited to be here today, even more so than usual, if that is possible. And it is, because I am. And there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, holy smokes, the app is starting to do some things. If you haven't downloaded He Changed It yet, what the heck are you waiting for? The new course, It's Tough to Talk, which was built exactly customized for the He Changed It audience, a men's communication course, click-through course. It's exclusively available on He Changed It. It's in the app now, built in association with the Canadian Mental Health Association. Phenomenal course. We're very excited about this, and engagement in the app has gone up like crazy because of it, and all sorts of other stuff. The communities are starting to grow, and it's just amazing watching this project, which was an idea a couple years ago. And it's turned into this thing that and you ain't seen nothing yet with it. So if you haven't downloaded us yet, go to the Google Store, go to the Apple Store, get He Changed It, get the He app, and come on in. Let's talk about it. The water's nice. I'm also excited today because this is a very cool podcast. And the guest that we have here is one that's very close to my heart and also second removed. And we'll get to that in a second as to how that's possible. This is a gentleman who is in his mid-20s. And he defies the stereotype of his generation. A lot of the time, you know, you get these millennials and younger judgments about entitlement and not understanding what real work is and all sorts of things that have kind of entered the lexicon of our culture. This is a guy who has completely defied all of those stereotypes and more and more and more. His name is Clayton Robertson. We're going to talk to him, but my story with Clayton begins a lot earlier than he was ever born, actually. I went to high school with his mom, and we're going to talk about that. He lost his mom a few years ago, unfortunately, to a drug overdose. And so Clayton, for the hand that he has had and the story that he has, the hand that he was dealt and the story that he has, he should not be who he is, yet he is. And I am extremely excited and honored. He said that, yeah, we'll pull the curtain back, Mike. I can ask anything I want. We can talk about anything. I'm extremely excited that he is here and willing to share and do that, because this is a guy who has already, and if we put a megaphone in front of him, will change thousands, tens of thousands more lives. Clayton, thank you very much for letting me exploit our friendship.
Yeah.
And letting you and being willing to come here and talk to us here on HeCast.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me, Mike. I'm really excited, and I'm glad to share some of the things that we went through to maybe help some other people out there, and to know that they're not alone through some of these battles that you go through in life. So yeah. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
And you are an authority on that. And we're going to get to the plethora of ways that you are an authority on that. I'm going to truncate the conversation that we had at the hot tub that one day.
Yeah, sounds good.
You and your girl were in the hot tub, and your girl is the daughter of my wife's and my best friend in the whole world.
Yeah.
And we're constantly all doing things as families together and whatnot. And you knew that I went to school with your mom, but there was a night where you two were in the hot tub, and I kind of came over and I opened up my experience with your mom, with Carrie. Yeah. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to truncate that and kind of go back to those times. When I was in grade 8, I was in a social studies class at Rutland Junior High School, it was then called. Yeah. The teacher was Mr. Andrew, and the subject was social studies. And there was this girl who sat behind me it is tough to explain her other than anything than a sunbeam. Yeah. She was an absolute sunbeam. In grade 8, her name was Carrie Robertson. She had that, because we're in the early 90s here, so she had that, the teased big hair, and it looked really good. She also wore the white leather jacket with the tassels, the short one. And all the respect in the world, you know, that she was cute as cute can be. She was this cutest girl that you'd ever see. And she smiled at everybody. She had this smile. She always wanted to make people smile, no matter who they were.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Within two or three classes and listening to Carrie and seeing her, who she hung out with and stuff. Carrie was a girl in grade eight. She was hanging out with dudes in Trans Ams. You know, the T-top Trans Ams. Yeah. And she got labeled as kids do. They label each other. She got labeled as a banger. Yeah. That's what she was. She was a banger. She was hardcore, a heavy metal kid. She'd be out at the smoke pit, you know, even though she was in grade eight and she'd be hanging out with 16, 17, 18, 20 year olds.
Yeah.
And, but would never live up to any of the other stereotypes that a banger had. Yeah. She was nice to everybody.
And her nickname was Care Bear.
Absolutely. And it was back then too.
Yeah.
Going through high school with Carrie was really, it was fun. Every single time Carrie came to class, if she was late or if she had, she just had other priorities and you could tell, but she had a life.
Yeah.
She'd always have stories. She had this inner light. That being said, that crowd also had a lot of other things that were associated with it, drugs, partying, some big things. And so Carrie and I went through high school together. I graduated. I'm not sure if she did or not. I know that shortly after high school, she had a kid.
Yeah.
And that kid had some health problems.
Yeah. That was me.
Enter Clayton.
Yeah. Cystic fibrosis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were born with cystic fibrosis.
Correct.
Now, I'm a total layman. I'm going to ask this question here, being completely ignorant, which is what I'm best at doing.
That's okay. That's okay.
Your condition, does it have anything to do with the way that she lived her life?
It did, because like partial, because it was every 3 months I had to go to Vancouver.
Yes.
All the way up till I was 18.
Yep.
And so she was always trying to take care of me and work two jobs. So it was a bit of a struggle even when in her young ages, because she was working two jobs trying to raise me. And then,
and then your brother came along.
And then my brother came
along. What's the age difference there?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. Yeah. So she was a really young mom.
Yeah.
Not necessarily hanging out with the best people.
Yeah.
I remember, shortly after, high school and getting into my early 20s, she had a hot dog cart downtown and she'd be outside the bar.
Yeah.
You know, slinging away her hot. She always had a wiener joke, which was really funny.
Yeah.
And your mom could pull it off. She could pull it off.
Totally.
She's so bubbly and cute and all that. She could just pull that off. No problem.
Yeah.
And, but at the end of the day, okay. So biologically though, like if she was into drugs and things like that, that didn't necessarily have anything to do with why you got
cystic fibrosis.
Yeah.
No. So the cystic fibrosis, it is, it's when two parents are carriers of the cystic fibrosis gene, and then it's like a 50-50 chance of flipping a coin whether your kid's going to have it. So anyone can be a carrier of the gene but not have cystic fibrosis. Like nobody else in our family ever had CF or anything.
Okay.
It was just the luck that my father was a carrier of the gene and my mother was a carrier of the gene.
Okay.
And then I got the luck of the draw.
Okay. Well, and I mean, at the end of the day, back then when you had a child with that, it was basically, there was a limit as to the lifespan of that child.
Yep.
And also the, not just the, number of years that child is going to be on the planet, but also, their quality of life and things like that. You are defying a whole bunch of shit with, who you are.
Totally. Well, when I, was growing up, I remember they were saying our life expectancy with CF, was around 30 to 40 years old. But now that with how medicine has changed and everything, there's people that are living in their 60s to 80s with CF.
Yeah.
So it's all about maintaining your health, you know, once you have it and just taking your medications. I do a breathing machine, half an hour in the morning, half an hour at night every day for my whole life, basically. So,
so you got into that discipline. You became a disciplined child in that regard, even though you maybe were in undisciplined circumstances much of the time. I mean, you were with your grandparents a lot of your life, you know, so your mom was in and out of your life kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But you learned discipline right from the very beginning because, hey, if Clayton doesn't take these protocols,
I'm going to die.
He's going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's.
Do you think that changed your perspective, even like at kindergarten, between you and the other kids? Did you know you were different at that early age?
Yep.
Was there an awakening to that?
I always knew I was different because I had cystic fibrosis, and I was like in the younger years, I was scared that people would judge me for it. But as I got older, I realized that, you know, everyone has different cards and you just deal with your cards and don't be ashamed. My mom taught me the most like she was one of the most positive, caring women out there that always said, be proud of who you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I have, Candy and I talk about you sometimes and we just shake our heads because it's like we see other young men your age and all of the things that they were given when it comes to opportunities.
Yeah.
You weren't given that.
Yeah.
No money, right?
No. Nope.
Growing up.
No. Nope.
None.
Nope.
Like it was probably on the other side of the fence where you had less than more most of your life. Right. Yep. Transient situations many times. Mom who is, you know, did her best, positive, amazing attitude.
Yeah.
But unpredictable to say the least. I'm being as respectful as I possibly can. Yeah.
So she was actually really good for up until the later years of her life. Cause she quit partying for, I'd say about a good 8 or 9 years when we were growing up. Because in the beginning, when it was my father, he is another side, and he had a drug addiction. So my mom was sober for many years, and she was the good parent because she taught me and my brother that, you know, stay away from drugs because as soon as you try drugs, it's like a voice in your head that you can never get away. And so at a young age, because between when we were, say, 8 to 18, 19, our father was in and out of our lives. He was the badder parent at that point in time because he was off partying, doing the cocaine and doing all the ruckus, and he was vacant in our lives. But mom was around, and she was always doing the good stuff, teaching us while he was vacant. So,
I love hearing that.
Yeah,
I love hearing that, and I mean we're gonna get to what happened with mom in a few minutes here, but I just want to growing up. I also talk about your work ethic. So let's, I'll kind of let the cat out of the bag. So in your mid 20s here, own one property already.
Yeah.
You know, you have started to build, you've got, how many businesses do you have?
we got two businesses and one in the works. I got my Red Seal electrical ticket when I was 22 years old.
And you got a trade.
Yeah, I got a trade, and that was the best decision for me because I love math. I love working with my hands, and it allowed me to save capital all the way till by the time I was 22 years old, I had $100,000 saved up.
Yep.
Because I learned from my grandparents, I learned from a lot of good, like I learned from as many people as I can in my life. And they taught me to save. They said, you don't need materialistic stuff. You don't need a new car. You want to save and let that money make money. Yep. So I did that. And, you know, me and my brother and my grandparents, we pitched in on a house and we got a nicer house for the family. And it's been a good path, you could say.
Okay. And so you got a trade right away.
Yeah.
But you've also got this entrepreneurial spark.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not going to go into what your crypto accounts are worth or anything like that, but you've kicked some ass when it comes
passive
to
passive incomes.
Some of the, well, you've got passive incomes coming in, and you've really kicked some ass in a lot of ways. The trade part I kind of get.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, okay, what do you want to be when I grow up? I don't know. But if I have a skill that I can use somewhere, and that it, you know, is at least half of what my skills are. You said math, working with your hands, that sort of thing. Okay, I've got something under my belt.
Yeah.
Where did the entrepreneurial part come from?
My mom.
Your mom.
Yeah, yeah, because
that wiener shack.
Yeah, the wiener shack, man. Like sell her slang and hot dogs, you know, she was a small business owner. And like that inspired me and my brother because like, if she could be a small business owner, well, why can't we, right? Yep. Like let's work for ourselves. Let's figure out things that, you know, produce some sort of quality in other people's lives. And so, yeah.
Whatever it is, including an experience after the bar.
Exactly.
So was she sober some of those years that she was out like at 2 in the morning when the bars would get out? Yeah. So she understood the crowd because there were people she used to run with.
Yeah.
But then she would just hang out with them and they kind of maybe assumed that she was still.
Well, yeah. And like the funny thing is, you know, you don't think selling hot dogs would be very good money, but like selling them outside the bars, on one night, she'd be clearing $1,000, right? Yeah. Like, and that was a great, but it was tough work because, you know, she wouldn't be going to bed until 6 in the morning some days. Cause you know, you shut down your hot dog cart at 4:30 in the morning and then
you're still wired.
Yeah. And then you're still wired. You got to go park it and do all your accounts and stuff like that. And
I just appreciate that so much that, yeah, there's so much good stuff. Now, she got back into drugs after a car accident.
Yes. So how did
that all go? Because she got off, she got clean and sober.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's probably around the time that I met you.
Yeah.
That you started dating
Deanna.
And so I was like, I remember the first time meeting you.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, Clayton Robertson. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, you may know his mom, Carrie. She's been around where you grew up for a long time. I'm like, okay.
Oh.
Holy shit. Look at this kid. Because yeah. I'm looking at you. Jacked, hard worker,
yeah.
Disciplined beyond, yeah. you know, and at the going for it.
Yeah.
Going for it. And that alone, those attributes just made you stand out
yeah.
from people around you. Those stereotypes that I talked about earlier. They hurt your feelings at all?
No.
Are they true?
No. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, when you, like, I compare it to what my grandparent, you know, when we look at the older generation, the builders, the true builders of society and some of the things that they've had to go through in their life to get us to where we are today.
Yeah.
And then you look at some kids and, you know, they have no respect for how blessed we truly are to have, you know, all this technology at the, you know, we have all the answers to any question that we can think of at our fingertips. We have roof over our head. We have families that are, that have, you know, houses and that are not, you know, stuck. We're not stuck a family of 10 in this tiny little shack where they have painted floors and nothing to show for.
Like much of the world is.
Yeah. Like much. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Like when you compare us to the rest of the world, we're in the top 1% of the world in how
we're blessed.
Live. And we're so blessed.
And then like, think about it. Like I put this in perspective. If I was born on the other side of the border, if I was born in the States, I'd yep. be dead by now. My medications alone are $50,000 a year. Fully covered. I pay about $4,000 a year for my medications
yep.
and then deductible pays for the rest, but $50,000 a year for me to survive.
Wow.
So if I was born in the States, you know, like that's another thing that nobody thinks of, that how blessed we are to be in Canada
yep.
And to have jobs where we can, you know, we can go work and make say $30 to $40 an hour.
Yeah.
And actually bring in decent money for your families.
Yeah.
And then there's people in like, you know, say Africa or these other places in the world that are making $5 an hour or not even. Like I was talking to one guy in Nigeria. I got him to do my resume. Okay. And he was 32 years old and he was just saving $1,500 to buy his first car.
And he was doing like administration work over the internet on the side.
Yeah. And he was doing that on the side. And he was a teacher for little African pupils. And he was showing me, sending me some pictures and all that. And it was just like, whoa, what a difference in life quality, you know, and how blessed we truly are. Because a lot of people, they get so caught up in their own tiny little town that they forget to look at like the whole bigger picture of the world.
Yeah.
And when you do, when you look at that, it's like, holy smokes, you really got to count your blessings because we have a lot to be blessed for, even though some of the stuff that we go through, but it's best to look at the bigger picture.
You have a mindfulness about you that is, I'm in my 40s, I'm mid 40s at the time of this broadcast, I'm 45 years old.
Yeah.
And you have a mindfulness about you that many of my contemporaries just simply don't have. You know, we take a lot of things for granted. That mindfulness that you have has obviously served you very, very well in many, many ways. And we're going to get to that. We're going to get to some of Clayton's secret sauce to how he looks at life. And I can't wait to talk about that stuff. So you're in your mid 20s, mom's sober, and then the car accident happens. Yeah. Is that where she,
that's where things went downhill. So what happened was, so I think it was about a year and a half before the car accident, she split up with her significant other of mm-hmm. 13 years. Mm-hmm. And that was really hard on my mom because she wanted to marry her significant other, but
kids were also part of that.
Yeah. And she had two little beautiful daughters that are my little sisters. And then my brother, and he's just as awesome as we all are. Right. So the accident was, she was driving towards Vernon and she lost track at the wheel or whatever happened, and she hit the ditch and she got ejected from her convertible. And so this punctured one of her lung, broke all her ribs. She was in medical induced coma for 30 days. And that was a pretty big shock to all of us, but we were just glad that she made it through. But after she made it through, they had to replate all her ribs, and she had a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And so after this accident, at that time, the opioid crisis was still going on. She hated opioids. She hated, because, you know, it turns people into zombies. You know, you get Oxycontin, and then that turns you into a zombie where, you know, you're just a pill machine, and she didn't want that. So she refused to take the prescribed medication
for pain management. She fought it.
She was tough.
Wow.
But you know, she's still doing the hot dog carts, but she's sore, like having all this rib plated, and then you got to move a hitch and all this stuff. But after she got out of that accident, that's where I really noticed it changed the mental health perspective, because one, your body can't do what it used to. Two, she started drinking and partying. So at this point in time, she was doing her hot dog carts for many years. I think this was 10 years into her hot dog cart journey.
Yeah.
But to get work. So for example, to get workers to work that, it's not the finest, brightest people, right? To work at 4 a.m, blah, blah, blah. So where was I going with this?
So mom and I mean, at the end of the day, she's got this car. That's the other thing about being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And you don't get insurances and things like there's no benefit plan with that.
No, you still got bills to pay. And so
she went back to work early probably too.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, working that hot dog cart in that, like plating her ribs, like Jesus, that's
yeah. Oh my God. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so she started self-medicating with liquor, and then it went into cocaine. And, you know, it got to a point where I was like, okay, mom, like, let's do something to get you out of this crowd, because who she was hanging around with at that time, it wasn't great characters. And, you know, we started seeing the change in her mental health and some of the stuff, but she, like, I looked at her and was like, mom, like, we gotta get you out of Kelowna, get you around new people, or just, you know, take a break.
Yeah.
to get you sober, like just to stop this. But she said she was in so much pain. She was just heartbroken, and she was just not the same person that she was before. I was like, mom, I'm going to be burying you before we bury my grandparents. You know, like let's not have this happen. But she was such a caring woman that the people that she was hanging around with, she would always try and help people, you know, you need money, or people go ask her, oh, I need $500. Like, I'm in desperate need, blah, blah, blah. After she passed, we found a list that she lent out over $30,000 to all these different people. And of course they managed. Yeah. So it actually ended up being that these people took advantage of her. And when she was in this dark place, the misery loves company. So they kept bringing her down. It made a true effect where it brought it down to a point where there was no return.
We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Cause I'll let the air out of the balloon a little bit. Cause you're the one that found mom. And I mean, but at the end of the day, this is a good spot to talk about, how important is it who you associate with?
Oh, it's very important. You know, if you hang out with chickens, you're good or cluck at some point, if you'd like to say it like that.
I think I like to say it like that now that I've heard it like that.
because, you know, if you're hanging around with positive people that are doing things that challenge you to be better, then you're gonna keep growing. But if you're hanging around with people that have drug addictions, that don't care or have a screw it attitude, well, then that's going to rub off on you. And I've seen it in multiple situations, you know, even in high school, you know, you have some people that think they're tough, cool, you know, they're doing drugs, thinking they're top of the world in high school. And then say 7 years down the road, I've seen one guy that I knew from high school riding around on a bike, no teeth, asking for toonies. And it's like, holy smokes, you used to be the tough guy in our school that thought he was all that. And then it just, you know, the drug addiction takes over your mindset. And then that's where it goes. So it's all about who you hang around with, surround with. I think that is a very big, important.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's a vision thing too, right? Is that some people's worlds, they become so much, so small.
Narrowed
in. You talk about these opportunities that we have. We can do so many big fucking things if we want to.
Yeah.
And I mean, I look at you and you're doing it. Like I'm watching you doing it going, holy cow, at 26, you're 20 years my junior.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at your, like I say, your crypto account, all the things, the moving parts that are going on in your life. I'm like, man, that guy's going after it.
Yeah.
And I remember when you started dating D, you would come around because the people you describe, the people who are positive that are trying to do things or whatever, my wife and I strive to be those people. And I mean, that's, I'm not saying that we are those people.
No,
I'm not
going
to ever,
ever
say that, but we do strive to be those people. Yeah. And we hang out with people like that. And your future in-laws, are those people. And that's one of the reasons they're our best friends. I remember when you were like 18, 19, 20 years old, you would come upstairs or come out back to the pool or whatever. And you would talk to Richard or I about bigger things. Like you were definitely a guy that was picking our brains. Or it was an iron sharpening iron situation or whatever. And Richard and I, you would go back in the house, you know, hang out with his daughter and we would remark about that and say it was so impressive to see that.
Yeah.
And that's intentional on your part. You definitely would go around and talk to people who were maybe down the path a little bit further, that path that you wanted to go down.
Yeah.
And you would do that.
Exactly. Well, you know, like there's so many, you know, every person has their own story and they've seen different things. And you can take, you know, it all depends on what you take from a person. And, you know, if you always look at improving, like my life motto is I dream big and I'm always trying to improve.
Yes.
Is because if you have that, you always have a mission that you can always build on in a positive way.
And you got something to look forward to then because you're going in a direction.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, you know what? I used to, you know, where I got it was I was about 17, 18 years old and somebody said to me, no, you know what? I had just started for Costco. That's what it was. I was 19.
Yeah.
And I was going to a Kings Canucks game. I'm a giant LA Kings fan. Mm-hmm. Fans of VCast know that. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm a
big
LA Kings fan. Whenever the Kings come to Vancouver, I go and see them down there. I try to. And I was 19 and I was stocking at Costco and there's this guy in his 40s and he looked at me and he goes, why are you so happy all the time? Yeah. And I just said to him, I said, I always want to have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Like I've got this Kings game coming and it was the first time that I kind of made that connection. And I just said it out loud as I was just fucking BSing.
Yeah.
I was literally just in the moment being present, talking my truth. And that was, I stopped and I said, oh, whenever I have a concert to look forward to or a hockey game to look forward to or something happening down the line, even when things get shitty, I still have a little semblance and you're kind of taking that thought to another level. If you know that you're on a path and you're looking forward to some of the big things coming in that path. That also can keep you in that right mindset.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and we're going to talk about it cause your mom died. And I mean, I look at you now, I look at you, how you are the fucking head of that household. Like I look at you with your brother and those girls and what you're doing and like, oh man, you're leading them along. I know that you have dreams and aspirations to make sure they're going to be okay. And, and all how you've taken that leadership role. Your mom OD'd.
Yeah.
And you found her.
I didn't find her.
Okay.
But, so the story was, so for example, I'll just get into it deep. So you guys can see some of the things, So when my mom was dealing with this drug addiction and, you know, she was renting a house from my grandparents and, she was causing a lot of ruckus because her boyfriend at the time, this guy was a jailbird, wasn't a good influence, but he'd come at the house at night at 3 a.m, he'd kick mirrors off cars, they'd be throwing dishes. And
he was so that guy.
He was just one of those. Just loose shit. Just a shit disturber. Pardon my language.
Oh, no.
And so when we kicked her out of the house because the renters that were in the house were threatening of leaving. So we kicked her out of the house thinking, OK, she's going to think she's in rock bottom.
Were you a part of that?
Yeah, because me and my grandpa was there. Right. And
but you were part of kicking your mom out of the fucking house.
Yeah, we had, so me and my brother, we, you know, we went through all her stuff, like just said, mom, like we got to kick you out of here because all these guys are threatening on leaving and they pay the rent for the house.
Yeah.
And we thought that would wake her up, right? So we kicked her out of the house. We said, mom, so she in the shed in the back, there was, she set up a mattress and a nice little pad, a room in the shed. Okay. And we thought, okay, she's going to be at rock bottom. Like I'm not, you know, I'm
tough what, love.
I'm 21 at the time.
Yep.
I'm working out in oil and gas. And tough love. So, you know, we think, okay, this is hopefully she's going to wake up from this and say, let's make a change. And then, one day we were at home there and, an officer showed up at our house and he said, can you identify a tattoo on your mom's body? And, Jesus. So we were like, oh yeah, there's a kiss symbol and that's your mom. And so what happened is, she overdosed in the shed, but it was in the middle of August and, nobody found her for 2 or 3 days. So her body was decomposing in the shed. Nasty smell started exposing. One of the renters went in there, found her dead body, called the cops, and then that's how they found her.
Okay.
So the day after, after the cop came to our house and asked us to classify if that's your mom or not, well, we had to find my mom's purse because my mom with the hot dog carts and that, she always had a fanny pack with usually 5 or 6 grand, like a bunch of money in there. And that's with her license and that. So we had to go downtown to the house to try and find her license. So we show up to the house that day and this is the day after. And I open up the shed. Like I don't have a sense of smell because with my cystic fibrosis, I don't really have a sense of smell. And so we get there. My brother starts crying because like it was a dark situation, right? My grandpa couldn't even go in the shed because it smelled so bad. It smelled like death. And I go in there to try and find her purse. So there's the mattress. I don't know why the coroners left this mattress there that she passed away on, but here's this mattress. And there's a stain about 2.5 feet wide of just moving bugs and maggots. So I'm in there, I grab it out of there. Cause I'm like, they can't see this. So I grab it. I go throw it in the trailer in the backyard there. I go back in there and now they're crawling all over the floor. So I grab a knife. I go down to the one side, I cut, and then I go down and it's the biggest whiff of death that I've ever smelled. And like, normally I can't smell anything, but I was cutting the last piece of carpet out and just death. And it was like, holy smokes. Like I'll never forget it to this day. And, so then I heard months after, so this is where another mental thing that was like, wow, it's really who you hang out with is, so whoever was with my mom that night, there's an Axolone kit that would have saved her life because it was fentanyl laced cocaine. And she used to get her drugs from a known source that she said, it's clean. And I heard months down the road that somebody might have thought she was a loose end, gave her fentanyl-laced cocaine, and then whoever was with her that night took her purse with all her money, left.
Holy shit.
Let her die. So she could have had a second chance, but that person chose her money and her purse instead of saving her life.
Do you know who that person is?
No, I don't. And I won't.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, it's a good thing. I can't do anything anyhow. So,
well,
yeah, but like, it's like, you know, it's just sad that you know, there's people out there like that. And it really comes down to who you hang out with. And yeah, so that's the story. And like, I share this and I'm comfortable sharing this because hopefully it inspires somebody that, you know, if you're going through something, there's other people. Like I always look at it as it could have been worse. You know, it could have been worse. Like it could have been a missing persons case.
Yeah.
Right. Like I could still not know where my mom is today. And that would drive me even more off the walls.
And it could always be worse.
It could always be worse. And there's other people
out
there.
And you have taken that logic and actually apply, like, it's easy to say it could always be worse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a little platitude I'm going to live with in my life. I'm going to wrap my life around that. And that's really good. Nice little present, little bow. But you've actually taken it and fucking used it in a heinous, I don't know a better word for it, a heinous situation.
Terrible situation.
And it actually did give you a little bit of something to hold on to. It could have been worse. At least we know now we got to deal with it. It sucks, but
my mom always told, like, she always was the person that says, laugh about it. Don't cry about it. Just laugh about it and just keep going, you know? So I've used that. I've kept that to my thing. And sure, I have a sixth sense of humor sometimes to offset the dark stuff that I've seen.
Dark humor.
Yeah right. And, but yeah, that's.
Wow. Okay. And since that's happened, you know, I want to be as respectful as I can for your whole family, but you brought it up. Dad's kind of been up and down, in and out, around.
Yeah.
Did you make the decision the moment she passed? Okay, it's time for me to helm shit. Because, I mean, now you got your grandparents who helped to raise you as well. Yeah. You know, and they're getting older.
Yeah.
And they've got stuff going on.
Yeah.
Did you make the decision that I'm basically going to run the family right when your mom died? Or was it before that? Or
no, it was. So after my mom passed away, it was a turning point. I knew that if we didn't stay positive, that the family would fall apart. My grandparents, because they just lost their daughter, their loved daughter that they just raised for, 40 plus years.
And with tough love happening, which that's gotta eat at people's hearts.
Totally. And, there's always, we always think that we could have done more, that we could have done this but we tried our hardest and, we're dealing with somebody that was dealing with a severe that turned into a severe drug addiction because of the emptiness inside. And there was no fighting that because when somebody loses hope and is surrounded by negative people in that surrounding, you can't help them. Yeah. You can't help someone unless they want to help themselves. And if they don't want to help themselves because of the environment they're in, then you can't do anything about it. So after she passed, I stepped up and was like, look, we got to stay positive. We got to keep going. So it was a dark time for my family, but me and my brother, and my little sisters were, 6 and 7 at the time. Yeah. And that was one of the hardest things is explaining to them that their mom passed from an overdose.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about us anymore. It was about fulfilling her position in life, because me and Deanna and Dakota, we do as much stuff as we can for my little sisters, and we've provided a good life so they didn't feel like they missed out on not having a mom. So that was one of the big things, was the important thing was staying positive for them and my grandparents. And that's
you right there. You don't cry for yourself. You cry for others. That's you. You got through talking about what you saw and what you did when it came to your mom, and you did it with like the precision of a fucking newscaster. During a terrible event, keeping composure. But the moment you bring in the little sisters, that's where your heart comes in.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
And good for you for doing that. Because one of the things, and I think I've told you this, I think you've known this as you've seen some of the podcasts, but I'll say it again for in case we got a lot of new people and He Changed It lately. Maybe this might be people's first He Cast. One of the things that Candace wants to do with He Changed It is she wants to take back the phrase man up. You got all sorts of groups that are taking negative phrases back and they're repurposing them. And we want to do that with man up. Traditionally you think about a locker room, right? Man up, don't cry.
Yeah.
Bury it, throw it back, whatever. Okay. You are the very definition of what we want man up to now look like, to take responsibility.
Totally.
To take, a horrible situation and somehow, some way turn it into a blessing.
Yeah.
And I use that word blessing, not just get through it, but turn it into something better.
Yeah.
And if you can turn horribleness into something better somehow, you help negate the horribleness. Mm-hmm. it's something that so many people haven't wrapped their minds around, but we as a world, especially the world that has all of these amazing opportunities and tools at our fingertips, this is something that we need to kind of get behind. You are the poster child for it, of your generation. You're one of the most impressive young people I've ever met. And I call you young.
Thank you. I
appreciate that so much about you. Relationship stuff, you're in a relationship. Yeah. Uh, I, 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 again, want to be as respectful as possible. I'll throw my relationship under the bus a little bit. Yeah. Sometimes being cohabitating with creatures that are really emotional can be a difficult thing.
Totally.
I know that. We all know that, right?
Everyone,
But yet you, as a man, you have stepped up in so many ways and taken responsibility in so many ways, much more than somebody ever in a lifetime, in many lifetimes ever have to do. And you've done that. I just appreciate that so much. When it comes to mental health, I told you time is slippery when we come and do these things here. Okay. So, so I want to finish off because you actually had a bunch of mindfulness about coming on here. I knew you knew you were going to tell the story and we're going to go back and all that stuff. But you actually have thought about some of the things when it comes to mental health, when it comes to inspiring for personal development or behavior, that kind of thing. There are some things that you actually brought here today to talk about. And I want to honor that. So what are some of the things that you want to talk to the HeCast audience about?
So I put together just some notes that helped me get through some of the mental health things over the years. I read a book called Think and Grow Rich a long time ago
by
Napoleon Hill. That's a really good book. It taught me one of the most important things, that to look at yourself in a third person view. So self-analysis. So every 6 months I do a self-analysis, which is you get a page, you write all the positive things you love about yourself. You know, what you like to do, what you're proud of, your achievements, blah, blah, blah. And then you look at your negative things in a third person view and you write down all those negative things of how you want to change, how, you know, things that you don't like about yourself, things that you to make a difference, basically. And then that gives you the ability to look at yourself on paper and you get to see the positive things and the negative things in your life. And it allows you to judge it
like a third person,
a third person.
Yeah,
right. So, and then,
so that mindfulness right there helps, like just being aware of those things. Help.
Yeah. And it's on
paper. Never mind if you're going to aim yourself now and start sculpting yourself and turning yourself like just even that alone, that exercise and reading through that, that helps.
Exactly. Exactly. And it gives you something to look on, you know, over the years, say after 2 or 3 years, you get to see how things have changed, how things have stayed stagnant. You know, it just gives you things. And another thing I wanted to say is, you know, always be open to find someone to discuss about your problems. You know, don't hold that stuff in, because discussing with, there's so many people out there, like use my experience, use other people's experience that have went through stuff, and talking about it helps you feel like you're not alone. That's a major one that I wanted to throw out there.
Well, and that's, you know what, just to toot Candy's horn for a second here. That's what he changed. It is, you know, and when it turns into what it, like, it's beta, it's a shell of what it's going to, that what the envisionment is of the app, but the envisionment of the app is that somebody's going through something, they will be able to go into a room and find somebody really quickly who has gone through the same thing. And I mean, like, I imagine you, like that's another question I have for you before you get into the next thing. Have you counseled others? Like you're a guy who, you know, you have this plethora of information and experience at a young age and you've come through it. Is that something that, like, you're open to doing that? You're talking to people on fucking camera about it. Never mind. You know, it's really important. You're saying that right from the start. It's really important. Like, you talking about that and telling your story today. It was important for you, wasn't
it? Totally. Yeah. And you know, I have not counseled anyone yet. But I have had in my, vision of long-term life, I would like to, speak to others, share my story that, you know, if I can get through this, you know, you can get through anything. Anyone can get through anything if you set your mind to it. It's about if you have a positive mindset or a negative mindset. If you have a negative mindset, you're not going to get through a lot. But if you have a positive where, you know, you're always adapting and always changing, then it'll help out a lot. So, but in one day I'd like to do some sort of speeches on, you know, don't do drugs. Major thing is don't do drugs, because as soon as you start, then it's, you're fighting a battle for the rest of your life against that voice in your head.
So,
to younger kids, or
I think it's safe to say that he changed. If Candy has her way, he changed. It's going to snatch you up to do that.
Yeah.
Just so you
know. I'd love to.
What else? What else you got for our listeners or our viewers?
You know, a gratitude journal. So say at the end of every night or whatever, you write three things down that you're grateful for. And then, you know, every day you look at your book, or you can look through a month where you're like, hey, I'm grateful for, I got family, I got my dog, I got this, I got that. And then it's like, you know, you're not focusing on the negative things in your life. You're focusing on the positive things you do have in your life.
Gratitude is so important. And actually, I know how important journaling is.
Yeah.
My gateway into journaling was something called the 5-minute journal.
Yep.
And it's literally three things you're grateful for in the morning, three things you're grateful for at night, a couple little things in the middle. And that was actually the gateway for me to jump into journaling.
Yeah.
It's super, super, super important. And gratefulness it's a silver bullet.
Totally.
For anxiety, if you're anxious about something and you can just sit down, write down three things that you're grateful for, and then just focus on those things for just a couple minutes, like really kind of zone in on them, let everything else kind of fade away. You're not as anxious anymore.
No.
And actually 20 minutes, half hour, 45 minutes later, sometimes you're actually moving towards solution.
Yeah.
And it's because you just reset yourself through gratitude.
Exactly.
What else you got, brother?
Let's see. So, and then another thing is, create. So when you're in a good space in life, since I've had so many people, like we also lost, my sister's grandmother this year due to COVID. So that was their second mother. So she was like the second mother to my little sister. She was always around, really close. And she got COVID this year and then she passed. And so that was another big trauma for my little sisters. But what I did is after that, I realized it's important to create like a family passing list when you're in a good state of mind. So where you write down what to do if somebody close to you passes. Yeah. Because for example, like I've known on my father's sake, when somebody passed in his life, he relapsed on drugs, you know, like that's, but if you create a list, cause like some people have addictions, they have triggers and that could be a huge trigger is when somebody passes. But if you prepare for it by creating a list of like what you do, and here, for example, I'll just read a couple things from my family passing list here. You know, express your emotions. Like one, express your emotions. Two, cherish the good memories. Use their experiences to motivate you to achieve for them. So live for those people. Like after they pass on, don't think that, you know, get in a negative space. Well, now they're watching from above. So work hard, make them proud. Mm. You know, like that's what you got to do when somebody passes. And smile because of the experiences that you happen to have with them, because, you know, you got to cherish those experiences with that person in their whole life and you got to be a part of it and, you know, use those to motivate you. Make sure you cry and let it out, and share how you feel. Like, don't hold that stuff in because it will eat at you and it will eat at you and it will, diminish over time. So it's something you gotta thing. And then the last one, just to leave it, is spread good kindness, you know, just live for them and just keep going. Use it to motivate you to work harder and keep going. So that's something that I think, you know, everyone should have. You don't really think of it when everything's enjoying life and that. But when you do lose relatives, it would be just like a backup. So then you're not going through like a depression phase and then struggling, you know, you're drinking for 2 weeks or something because you didn't plan for this to happen. Right. And it's so dramatic when somebody passes. I think it would be good for people to have some sort of basis to have to go back to.
That's heartbreakingly practical. Is what that is. That list is. It's a beautiful sentiment from a logical guy, from a guy who has been through the school of hard knocks and has learned from it at an early age. Clayton, I can't thank you enough for this. I know you support what Candy's doing with He Changed It. I guess as we close it up here, like I say, time goes slippery. We're almost at 50 minutes. So what do you think about what Candy's building with He Changed It?
Oh, I think it's awesome. I think mental health stigma is something that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to change. I hope, and I think it's going to change a lot of people. You know, it's like, think about my grandpa. He's a hard old timer, you know, like where you suppress the feelings. You don't let the feelings out because you're tough as heck. But I think it's a great thing to talk about experiences that people have been through, how to learn from them, and how to help people get through their own experiences from stuff that we've learned. Because, you know, we've been through the roller coaster of life, right?
100%.
And so, like, let's help other people get through that roller coaster so they're not ruining their own lives, feeling like they're alone and set aside.
That's a mic drop. I couldn't put it any better than that. as to why I wanted you on here, and we wanted to make it happen a while back, and we finally got to it. I'm so grateful. This won't be the last time.
Yeah.
Just so you're aware, as things start to balloon and all that, there's going to be people out there who are really excited to maybe hear what you'd have to say about things and whatnot. And you're one of those giving people I've ever encountered. And I just am so grateful that you've come into our lives. I'm grateful that I still see your mom through you.
Yeah. The crazy lovey.
Oh man. And thank you, Mike.
Thank
you, Clayton, for who you are. And thank you for being willing to share your story today.
Yeah. And I would love to be back anytime where you want to talk about anything, any experiences. I got way more crazy experiences.
You do.
So it's like,
we only scratched the surface today. It's true. We only scratched the surface today. But our time is done, and that's how it goes. Time gets slippery when we do these things. It's one of the greatest things in my life that I have the privilege to do. Talk about gratitude. I am grateful to do this podcast. I'm grateful for all of our guests. I'm grateful for the stories. I'm grateful for everything that's going on in the He Changed It universe right now. I finish the way I start until we move to the next phase. I finish how I start. If you haven't downloaded the app, what the heck are you waiting for? This has been another episode of HeCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. My name is Mike Chisholm. Go change something.